Outtakes. Benway. Dr. Benway is interviewing a young doctor's application for Benway's special corps of troubleshooting analysts.
Your first case on which you will have the opportunity of trying your metal, or perhaps the amux metal, will be an incipient amux. Now, of course, you know in a general sort of way what an amok is, and have probably collected a battery of misconceptions on the subject. In fact, Western misconceptions as regards anything pertaining to the mysterious Orient are quite as staggering in their magnificent disregard for facts as infantile theories on sex and birth. In fact, I had one patient who, at the age of 20, believed that there were no women, only castrated men, and that birth took place through the navel.
Applicant. Good, sir, to the purpose. Benway.
Touché, young man, touché. Oh, yes. Misconceptions. So let me give you a brief rundown. The classical amok is a shy, withdrawn person with deep suppression of aggressive impulses, with final results that can only be described as regrettable. Why do amoks always use knives? Why not a gun or a flamethrower? Is their predilection for knives merely a result of their general backwardness? Amoks are not a phenomenon of 18th-century drawing rooms over civilized urban environments, or does it have a deeper root? But the most interesting and enigmatic point is what finally activates the deeply repressed killing reflex. Curiously enough, we would expect that one day some writer, some bus driver, some store clerk would insult the wrong man and reap the whirlwind, but such is almost never the way it happens. No, what distinguishes a mock from an outbreak of simple bad temper implemented by natural recourse of a tool-using animal bent on mayhem, at least, is that it has nothing to do with...
Spilling out in ambiguous dancing and sudden electric outbursts of violence, a young man leapt to his feet, thrusting out a knife and spinning around, his knife vibrating with a sort of electric life scream.
No me toca, maricas!
His eyes light up, flicker, and go out. He collapses and shits in his pants with fear and rushes out. A patient old sodomist in violet-tinted glasses and a gabardine suit follows. Theft and murder are epidemic and usually unpunished. There are whole areas, etc. People walk about with the shadow of paranoid madness in their eyes. It's like the South if they didn't have the Negro. The inhabitants of this area seem mostly of white stock. They do not present the fascinating, highly colored repertoires of skin diseases found among the mountain and coastal Indians. Troy, is this the face that launched 1,000 ships and burnt the topless towers of Ilium? Troy, Apaco, plate him or God, and taxes are in the Spanish toilet. Sign, rooms to let, and junk. Junk, the opium, don't want it any more, goes good with coffee. The lamb eat him up, and she ate the whole, Jumi whole. And now, where are on the owl, and came to Troy around the long bend of the dead river, here in the vast delta country, and the others who were in vast tree houses on the little islands here and there, swamps and springs and clear streams, and every variety of fish and serpent. And came at last to the lake, where on the delta shore, islands are more and more frequent. And now the sea itself and the lad is there gleaming into a quiet harbor and up onto the shore, and pulled himself up on the coast. He pointed to the... gave Carl a long, grave look before he smiled. The city was laid out in a series of parks along canals and lagoons. People nodded and waved to him casually. He never saw an averted eye. Sometimes he was ignored by someone, obviously thinking about something. Nor must you, by psychic maneuvers, prevent him from expressing his aggressive impulses. This is always sensed and deeply resented by the patient. Should I search him for knives at the door? No, this would increase anxiety and bury the effect even deeper. What's the matter, young man? Does the job scare you? Frankly, yes. This is good. Fear is a thing out in the open and always healthy. The best bullfighter of them all used to shake and vomit before a fight. Just remember this paradox. In our profession, there is nothing to fear but tense. If you defend yourself, you are lost. The patient would not be amok if you had done your job. Your physical defense would fail in any case. These things are not easy to describe, but believe me, hate and aggression only gain strength from your resistance. In short, we are surrounded by threatening phantoms which only have the strength that is body to attack us if we fear and succumb to anxiety and defend ourselves against them. Discussions as to which is the most dangerous type patient. Benway says a lata is more dangerous than an incipient amok. In fact, he is an incipient amok of the most insidious and treacherous type. Don't ever press him too hard. Outtakes. The Black Meat. The Generalissimo unveiled his statue in person. One of those pigeon-shit bronze capers on a horse. Static self, project, severed protoplasm rotting inside it, and proliferating insect forms which would, under normal circumstances, have been contained within the bronze shell forever. But some joker of an apprentice had made an asshole in the Generalissimo, covered but not sealed under a bronze uniform, flashed away with a street boy smile and a police bullet, and running from a broken jeweler's window, flopped across summer asphalt, a stained mercury fallen to a silver bullet. Blast of trumpets and the anthem. Everybody on his feet to witness this exhibit. Like we all called together here to look at this ugly old asshole, a young phalangist whispered to his lover. The boys snickered and froze under the hard, violet-tinted stare of a fat, liver-sick major sitting by the massive earth goddess bulk of his wife, her fat upper lip daubed with soft black fur. As the cloth and cellophane covers are removed by a system of pulleys synchronized with air currents, loud farting noises rumble out of the statue and the ground under it.
"Now break that technician down to a cesspool cleaner's assistant," snarls the socially ambitious young major in charge of ceremony protocol.
And then such a horrible stink drifted out like vaporized verdigris. Stink of atrophied semen, young testicles frozen in junk, American suburbs where the male soul rots on transplanted sod. Bureaucrat Spanish homes under cold eyes of mustachioed matriarchs, black ice of polished armoires and gilded mirror frames, massive and damp and heavy as the women who sit there, through a pale green bubble of ferns and rubber plants. Bogota streets of rain and death haunted by killer cops and dead students, raw peeled winds of hate and mischance sweeping in from the green savanna past the great earth goddess in black stone. And always in the streets and corridors and windows and doorways, black dogs of Paul's blighted road to Damascus, and on meandering through inquisitions and burnings. Paul never miss a burning.
"Yes," the sheriff said, pushing a wad of snuff into his cheek. "Nothing like a good, slow nigger burning to quiet a town down for a piece. And folks go around all dreamy and peaceful-looking and sort of sleepy like they just ate something real good and plenty of it."
Stacked-up cordwood of Belson. The American fairy turns on his broken insect male body and tears at it like a conger eel transfixed by a fish spear. The diver is composing an article for ball. We'll turn and bite its body right through above the fish spear and swim away, broken, galvanized fairy gestures, flat as figures cut out of tin, dying spermatozoa on the suburb sheets in the hungover Sunday dawn.
"Get him underground, he stinks something awful," said the British sergeant. "The future is ours. Of course we will use bits and pieces of Paul's machine during the transitional period, during which police, as such, will still be necessary. A period more or less elastic, of course.
Benway spreads his hands in a great sweeping gesture, and his smile flashes out and slaps across 10 billion faces, police with flesh of black metal, and all on cycles.
Out to smell out real crime, you dig. The Texas mother dressing her son in little girl clothes. Child hands slapped away from his own zones, every thought and feeling stamped with the shit seal of alien inspection. The crime, in short, of malignant interference. You see, we are right cats, out for the real enemy, the squares, the phonies, the cops. This is all baby padding, of course, as you can see, but if the tranquilizing suppository fits...
Benway shrugged.
Shove it on up there.
Room for one more inside, sir?
Time to consolidate or coalesce. Process takes time. We will have time and dirty hands to deal the cards like they are all stacked. The sailor went to the fair to buy a dozen thyme eggs.
Oh, what can the matter be?
Lee walked back the way he had come, through streets twisted in a slow arthritis of masonry, up the winding stairs warped by the late unsteady returns of a vehement drunkard, so that now you stagger up those stairs, drunk or sober. They were searching his room when he walked in.
Police, Johnny.
One of them flashed a badge which caught the dim light like a fish side in deep black water. It was hard to see how many were there, ferreting through his papers and notebooks with fingers light and cold as spring wind. Lee looked at the flat two-dimensional faces boiling with ravenous black fuzz. Campers, he decided. Campers are individuals who move into an empty office in a government building and start operating. Sometimes they have bought the right to operate from high sources and official incorporation is assured. Others are pure phony shoestring operators with floating offices in a lavatory, broom closet, dark room of the mugging department, in corners and corridors and patios of government buildings, tenuous bureaus. Outtakes. Hospital. 3 miles from the town of Camembert, advanced identification, the medical examiner, daring daylight assault on the laboratory attendant's syndicate. Light contusions. Denied complicity. Inspector René Parbleu says the slaying is an adjustment of scores growing out of the lucrative toilet paper contraband. El Culito was suspect to have held back the wad on his confederates. Present crime was an attempt to equalize pressures. Outtakes. A.J.'s annual party. The old queer squirm on a limestone bench in Chapultepec. Indian adolescents walk by, arms around each other's necks and ribs. Strain is dying flesh to occupy young buttocks and thighs, tight balls and spurting cocks. A boy turn, grin at him, and yell, "Hi, Pop!" Their boy innocence aching whip across his sagging buttocks and drooping loins. He scream, an enigmatic sibyl with dark glasses and a gray face, piss blood warm on his withered thighs. Mark and Johnny sit facing each other in a vibrating chair, Johnny impaled on Mark's cock.
All set, Johnny? Turn it on.
Mark flips the switch and the chair vibrate. Mark tilt his head, look up at Johnny, his face remote, eyes cool and mocking on Johnny's face. Johnny scream, whimper, face disintegrate as if melting from within. Mark's hands run down Johnny's sides, sketch a woman in the air. He put his head gently over Johnny's cock and makes a gesture of pulling it out. Johnny scream like a mandrake, black out as his sperm spurt, slump against Mark's body, an angel on the nod. Mark pats Johnny's shoulder absently. Mark and Mary whisper. They laugh, looking at Johnny.
Turn around, Johnny, Mark orders.
Johnny obey, and Mark secure his hands behind him with leather-covered manacles, copper chain.
To match your hair, Johnny, he says, ruffling Johnny's hair with casual affection.
Johnny is half asleep.
What's the angle?
Mark stands over him, hands on hips, smiling.
What do you think?
Mary bends over Johnny, pushing the hair out of his eyes.
We're going to hang you, Johnny.
Johnny's body contract, force the breath from his lungs. Tongue stick out, lips swell with blood and eyes darken. The contraction hold, squeezing his body in three long spasms. Shit spurt 6 feet from his ass. A final agonized spasm throw a drop of blood to the corner of Johnny's beautiful mouth. Lick sperm and blood into his mouth and fall asleep. Mary covers him tenderly with a soft, warm blanket. She kisses him on his closed eyes. At the door, Mark and Mary look back at Johnny, laugh softly. Morning. Johnny wakes up and try to stretch. Mark and Mary stand by the bed. Mark.
Come on, Johnny. It's all ready and waiting for you.
He helps Johnny sit up and swing his legs over the bed. Mary sits down beside Johnny and combs his hair.
You're going to be a good boy, aren't you, Johnny?
Johnny gets an erection.
Are you really going to hang me?
Of course we are, darling. But don't worry, it won't hurt.
Are you going to drop me?
Mark,
no.
That would knock you out. Couldn't feel it.
I'm going to break your neck like this.
He puts one hand on Johnny's chin, the other on the side of his head, moves his hands in opposite directions, clicks his tongue. He pulls Johnny to his feet with one hand under his chin. Johnny sticks his tongue out and lolls his head. Mary takes one of Johnny's arms, Mark the other. They march him to a door, open with electric eye. Outtakes. Islam Incorporated and the Parties of Interzone. Clem keeps an Arab and a Jewish boy. They dance into a cafe in a chorus line, raising 1920s straw hats and chanting,
Clem's the man the people choose. He loves the Arabs, goosing the Arab, and the Jews, feeling up the Jew. Well, I'm off to evict an Arab from his iron lung. The citizen is delinquent. It's my clear duty to Wall Street. So we hold the black rock, pending they give with its weight in diamonds. Otherwise we build a pissoir around it in downtown Tel Aviv.
They have a tape recording entitled, Your Reporter Interviews the Ergot Brothers, which they play with or without encouragement. Outtakes. The Examination. You have my pants in thrall.
In the words of the immortal bard, farewell, thou art too dear for my possessing.
Carl could not help turning around when he reached the door. The doctor was gone. Carl stared stupidly at the empty desk. Then he plunged through the door and down the stairs in a panic. A week later, he received a notice to appear at the ministry, exactly like the first notice. He decided to ignore it, but was unable to do so. I will tell him something, he muttered as he walked up to the reception desk.
Dr. Benway, oh yes, he has his office in public health now, right across the square, and turn to your left.
The nurse in Benway's office was doing crossword puzzles. A workman was painting the ceiling.
Oh yes, she said, go on in, he's probably expecting someone.
The workman seemed to be poised like a ballet dancer on top of his stepladder. He cast a flirtatious glance at Carl, using a paintbrush like a fan.
Don't mind him, said the nurse. He's just waiting on the operation. He'll be much happier, the doctor says.
When Carl walked in, the doctor looked at him with a total lack of recognition.
Hello, he glanced ostentatiously at the card. Carl?
Carl stared incredulously at the face across the desk.
The man looked back, a calm, kindly face, perhaps a bit professionally kind. He looked like a successful banker.
"Well, Carl, it seems that you are causing your employer a certain amount of concern."
He was drowned out by hammering. The doctor smiled good-humoredly, and his voice suddenly boomed out.
"Yes, we are undergoing certain, repairs here. Too bad we don't all close our psyches for repairs now and then. Not that we are exactly closed here. Oh, dear, no. Just operating on a skeleton staff is all. Why, like as not, they've got your file mixed up with someone else's. But a man has to do the best with what there is, right? So let me see what this is all about. You understand I have a lot of phrases I use at random, like, you seem to be a cause of concern to those near and dear to you, or, we're worried about you, Carl. With a detective con smile. And so, Carl...
The doctor slid off the desk and lay on his stomach on the floor, chewing his straw.
"And so, Carl, the revenuers have caught up to you."
He got up on all fours and sniffed at Carl's leg.
"Aromatic," he said. "Sour mash, I can smell them."
He stood on his head.
"And so, Carl, will you submit to a blood test, or do I have to get a search warrant?"
"But what? Why?"
"Well, if you must know, we are looking for a certain protein enzyme identified precisely as a protein enzyme by one Dr. Heath of New Orleans. A learned colleague, may he fall down and rot for snatching my enzyme right from under my very nose."
The doctor rushed into the chair, screaming,
"Mimmy!"
A buzzing in the ears, perhaps? A power saw screams offstage.
"Enzymes," says the doctor. "The new look will be the anti-enzyme look. That is the look that is not dominated by one enzyme. Meanwhile," he shrugs, "there is work to do."
He knocks out a wall partition with a sledgehammer. The wall opens into a Mayan tomb. Carl walks away, leaving the doctor.
"Cherchez la enzyme, or look after the enzymes, and the lieutenant's JG will look after themselves." "A trade joke, Carl. You see, every disorder, no matter how rarefied or seemingly completely over in the precinct of my psychically minded colleagues who have seen fit to put up a dogs and Benway keep out sign. This is our live one. Advanced cases of lymphogranuloma, rank stool pigeons, and Benway keep out signs has its corresponding enzyme system and its characteristic odor, so that when the medicine man of a primitive tribe talks of smelling out the sickness instead of a well-bred leer, we should emulate his example."
"Mother thinks so, too," said the painter.
Commissar sniffing at his subordinate.
"Don't you ever wash your brains, comrade? I smell impacted disaffection."
"Not me, boss."
"I have sometimes wondered if the same enzyme was not instrumental in homosexuality, schizophrenia, and drug addiction. In each case, a protective covering over the cells. But in the case of addiction, the covering can be removed. Could the lifelong addiction to a cellular cover ever be disintoxicated?"
"How the fuck should I know?" said Carl sullenly.
"Would not the shock of life, the beauty of the world, all those rich, lovely sensations simply incinerate that cold asshole? Nay, the miserable flayed thing would turn from the blast of beauty and crawl around scratching for its filthy skin across a vast rubbish heap."
"I'll spit cotton, you frantic old character," said Carl.
"You will be interested,"
he fixes Carl with electric menace,
To hear my general theory of addiction in its entirety. Mother thinks so, too. She wants to keep my balls preserved in alcohol for her hope chest. Isn't that cute? You'd love my mummy.
I hope to avoid her acquaintance.
Don't count on that, Gertie. Mother gets around. So the new look will be a combined look that is not dominated by any one enzyme, the criminal, the pervert, the self-righteous little man, the priest, the untouchable, every race and condition and potentiality, no matter how vile and horrible, must merge into new forms. Just as the disciplines of physics, literature, etc., cannot maintain separate existence in the light of the facts of ESP, etc. This must come, gentlemen. Meanwhile, man must work.
He knocks down a wall with a sledgehammer. Carl walked through, out past urns like vast penises, and two strange, misshapen little men crouch naked before the door. They get huge erections. Their bodies swell into huge, erect penises with vestigial arms and legs. They turn into urns by the door. The ceremony, when the boy is chosen by popular acclaim and stripped naked in the sacred grove, feeling already the eyes running over him, licking his whole being, fondled and licked and petted. He goes to the tree, garlanded and covered with perfumes, shitting and pissing, stopping frequently to indulge in sodomy or other perversions with sneering, sadistic youths, so that it takes a week to make the journey. And in each rest house are all manner of appliances. Everyone is in heat. He hangs there, quivering. They crawl around and shit and piss and jism, finally like a custard pie routine, and get drunken adolescents reeled to their feet in the country club kitchen. 1920 Roadhouse music drifts in through the open window.
Let's go to East Beauregard and get laid.
A pimp steps out and leans in through the window.
Visit the House of David, boys, and watch the girls eat shit. Makes man feel good all over. Just tell the madam you're a friend of mine.
He drops a cuneiform cylinder of black shit into the boy's hip pocket, feeling his ass with his supple fingers that seem to send messages in some lost tongue of a vile people who live in a valley in the Andes, cut off by towering snow-covered cliffs and a great waterfall. The inhabitants are blonde and blue-eyed, etc. Sex is the only occupation. It is unlawful to masturbate or have orgasm alone. They all live in one vast stone house, Turkish bath underneath, where people are always getting lost. It is rumored the Thurling, a sort of malicious boy's spirit, will lure you to an underground river where huge aquatic centipedes lurk. But sometimes a Thurling takes a like to you, and that is the best kick a man can have. Shoots blood all over the altar, a bloodless white statue, frozen erection covered with ice in the moonlight, in winter sun, northern lights. The tribe gives a vast sigh as they all come at once. This is the moment they fall to the ground in the little death, one humming, "Let me be your little death until your big death come." Of course, everybody wants the honor of having a Thurling in the family. Mothers carefully raise their children for maximum vileness. So vicious and vile are the children of the valley that every house is an armed camp. No father would dream of sleeping without bolting his steel doors and windows and setting the alarm, lest his progeny crawl in and eat his prick off in the night. Later, of course, they will be weaned and further processed, so that by the age of 4 they are quite broken and would not dare to think about anything but sex. A boy's first hard-on is pounced upon with wild yips of joy and photographed from every angle. All the neighbors rush in and offer congrats. The father passes out photos at the office to the boys in back room of Loki's asshole. Little girls are stimulated with vibrators by idiot, toothless grandfathers. Everybody's room has a one-way mirror, and everybody can watch anyone else at all times. To conceal yourself is traitorous.
To turn down any proposition in toto is also severely punished by enforced abstinence, so that people are always pausing in the street to watch politely while someone masturbates with shit or performs some perverted act. The sexes are absolutely equal and take part in all orgies on the same traction. There is the annual sex exhibit, which goes on for 3 months of the year with plays, lectures, sex devices. Street boys hawk aphrodisiacs and pictures and animated fucking dolls. Clothes are, of course, designed for speedy, graceful disrobing. What is most sought after is the precise admixture of depravity and innocence.
"Would you believe it?"
exclaimed the proud mother as her son comes walking in across the field with a string of bullheads, playing his harmonica.
"That he's a fart queen?"
The mother grasped Lucy Bradshinkle's hand impulsively and leered deep into her eyes.
"You wonderful woman," she said simply.
Said a travelogue voice, "Stay tuned to the Flying Explorer. We'll reach you at this time every Wednesday, and any other time you stand still for it." In fact, every citizen spent at least half his time naked, indulging in some sex act or play in plain sight of everyone else. It was like living in a sort of jelly that cushioned every movement, suggestively feeling your balls with throbbing caresses oozing up your ass. Train to Canada, that is, Gibson girl Eleanor Glynn. Rush for seat, of course, like a refugee train. Those are reserved seats. Pulled him down. So what now, Joan, talking about Neil's work, can be placed. Joan is dead. Long live the queen. Strip polka. Strip poker. Play it skit. Hell, group, we said it. So the game with him and one another is not so as to see it like... If all enzyme have images like all junkies look alike, that is because of the special addict enzyme. All schizos look alike. All queers look alike, and all criminals and all lesbians. Lesbians all have that cold fish look. So these archetypes all have the corresponding enzyme system. Withdraw the enzyme, you starve out the archetype. The new look will blend all the archetypes into a spontaneous matrix. The new look will not be dominated by any one enzyme, will be the uninvaded look not of innocence, but of knowledge. Correspondingly, any innocent, that is, uninvaded person, can be addicted to any of the enzyme archetypes. Junk is always our prototype. It gives us the general formula of addiction. So now where from junk? Lesbians. An enzyme has blocked the female hormone. Male, we have an enzyme. Schizos and homos around the mouth. Junkies and lesbians in the eyes. To return to Carl, shots of the enzyme, don't be naive. Instead of a separate person reaction, which the child cannot have, we have an enzyme reaction of female enzyme, and the male image becomes unconscious or locked in, covered by the female enzyme, the homo enzyme. So child wants the female enzyme like morphine as part of his cells. Once it becomes part of his cells, a cover to his cells, he no longer wants it. He is it. This can only occur with the softening up enzyme of schizo, etc., which is predominant in childhood, adolescence, withdrawal. The softening up enzyme, as soon as he is hooked on the female enzyme, he won't want a woman anymore, but a man, and they will want the precise male image of their own that has been made unconscious, so the exact image that wanted the woman, almost always brutal and sadistic. Weakness for brutal and criminal types. His male image is brutal, mine is innocent, or partly so, but there is another half, not yet fully consciously realized, of extreme brutality. Similarly, the lesbian reacts to the male, and in her attempts to incorporate, loses her desire for the male, and the male enzyme blocks the female hormones. Return to morphine. Suppose I needed a female shot every 4 hours to maintain the female image, and if I didn't get it, there was an attack by the simplified cells living in the female medium. In short, we simply expose him to intense female image in state of softening up, that is, without his cell receptors must penetrate the cell. A virus invades the cell with an enzyme, penetrates the cell wall. Now, so we hope to stand on the sidelines and take over. Who are we? Don't know yet.
Outtakes. Coke bugs.
Screaming, and the vecinos rush in like furies. Stumbled over Eduardo in the bathroom, and he said, "I'm killing myself with this stuff," and looked at me with sick, conning, mooch eyes. Son of a bitch. Half bottle of Fundador, too soon after the half-assed cure. Hungarian abortionist don't know his piles from a finger stall. Put leeches on my needle scars to suck out the poison. Shots of Demerol by candlelight. They had turned off the lights and water. Was Weston glad to get rid of his evil and downright insolvent rumor? Never take a tenant with a monkey. And Kiki went away. Like a cat, somebody gives him more food, and one day he's gone. Through an invisible door. You can look anywhere. No good. No bueno. Hustling myself. Suddenly I see the chick in sharp focus. She is hooked and sick, sniffing, and all the bones stand out in her face. She catches my look and walks over and leans on the table and says, "Could you help me?" "Sit down. The man is 4 hours late. You got the bread?"
"Yes. That is, I got 3 cents.
"Nothing less than a nickel. These are double papers," he claims. "Say, I know an old croaker right for you like a major. Can't talk to him myself. We had a beef last time."
"But look,
he can't actually do anything. Just a bit of fun and games, you know."
"Ugh."
"Every day, die a little. It takes up the time." The croaker lives way out on Long Island. I keep falling asleep on the train, light yen sleep, waking up for the stops. Change here. Stay away from Queens Plaza, son, evil spot, fuzz haunted by. Get off here, bar, grocery store, antenna of television, suck the sky like greedy periscopes. The doctor lives on a dead-end subdivision street. Old 19th-century Spanish house with rusty iron balconies.
Outtakes. Hauser and O'Brien. I was sitting in Joe's lunchroom drinking coffee with a napkin under the cup, which is said to be the mark of someone who does a lot of sitting in cafeterias and lunchrooms, waiting on the man.
"What can we say?"
Nick said to me once in his dead junkie whisper.
"They know we'll wait."
Yes, they know we'll wait. Street corner, cafeteria, park bench, sitting, standing, walking. All those who wait learn that time and space are one. How long, far to the end of the block and back? How many cups of coffee in an hour? There was a chick at the counter giving me the eye, and I delineated a vague, good impression like something half seen from a train window. Back into the screaming, shuddering sickness, everything so sharp and clear it hurts, suddenly smeared with gray smoke. The clock had jumped ahead, the way time will after 4 p.m., even for a sick junkie. And I don't want to know about her or anybody. I had an oil burner, quarter piece of H a day. I was working the hole with the sailor out on the hype afternoons. You never could make the sailor, his brown eyes lit up inside, catching points of light like an opal, looking at something way out, face yellow and smooth and blank over high cheekbones, and he would sing over and over through his shiny yellow teeth, "Oh, oh, what can the matter be? Johnny's so long at the fair." I understand how the sailor went wrong. He could not feel anything for anybody else. The sailor is dead. Almost everyone I know is dead now. The sailor hanging to a cell door, his tongue out the way it would fall right out of his mouth, when he was loaded on goofballs. Kammerer, drifting along under the Hudson, jettisoned murder weapons cutting his flesh like meteors, and Jane sitting there at the counter. I hear about it later in Tangier. Met German. In Joe's lunchroom, met. All off the junk. 20 pounds of borrowed flesh and strap-on. Compound interest, I said. Lazarus, go home. I see things different now, he said. They can't bluff me with that repossession shit. Tools of my trade, it's the law. He showed me his strap-on under the table. Anybody can quit. You gotta make a deal, that's all. Lazarus, go home. You bring down the living with your crystal. Met Nick by the chess game in Washington Square, and he told me about busts and death and kicks. We couldn't talk with all the dead junkies around us. Little Arnie's drunk in Joe's, off the junk. 20 pounds of borrowed flesh. Lazarus, go home. Pay the man and go home. Outtakes. Atrophied preface. The voices rush in like burning lions.
I'll rip through you, said, trembling, the man of black bones.
So told Lieutenant LeBee, whose auntie was drowned at sea, said a little squeegee voice.
Cross crystal panes of horror to the tilted pond. Time to retire. Get a frisk. Glittering worms of nostalgia's house call where young lust flares over the hills of home and jism floats like cobwebs in a cold spring wind. Lovely brown leg, oh lordy me, baby, on the brass bed and bedbugs crawl under the blue light. Oh, God. All the day you'd do it. Do it right now. Suck the night tit under the blue flame of sterno orient pearls the way they should go. The winged horse and the mosaic of iron cut the sky to blue cake. On crystal balconies, pensive angels study pink fingernails. Gilt flakes fall through the sunlight. Distant rumble of stomachs. Porcine fairies wave thick wallets. Bougainvillea covers the limestone steps. Poisoned pigeons rain from the northern lights, plop with burning wings into dry canal. The reservoirs are empty. Blue stairs end, spiral down, suffocate. Where brass statues crash through the hungry squares and alleys of the gaping city.
Iridescent hard-on, rainbow in the falls. Can't hear nothing.
Two kids got relief.
Nevermore the goose honks, train whistle, bunkmate. Man in lower ten, eye caked with mucus. Watch the boy get a hard-on.
Not a mark on him. What killed his monkey?
Suicide god, take the back street, junk route. Detours of the fairy canyon shine in the light of dawn. Buildings fall through dust to the plain of salt marshes. Are the boys over the last ridge and into the safe harbor of Cunt Lick where no wind is? By the squared circle cut, cock my mouth, the cunt off and the rag on. Bring your own wife. Panama flow the sex fiend, beat the gray nurse for steak-sized chunks. The gray nurse is most dangerous form of shark. Like all sharks, they bite out steak-sized chunks.
Wouldn't you?
Libido is damned by the eager beaver.
Notice is served on toilet paper.
Smell shock grabs the lungs with nausea.
Fat queen bursting out of dungarees carry a string of bullheads to the tilted pond.
Tilt! Gray head bob up in the old swimming hole. The boys climb up each other, scream,
Eek! A man!
He will be fetched down, this creature. A fairy.
Monstrous! Fantastic! Get her! Slam the steel shutter of latency. Radius, radius, it is enough.
Dr. Hood is being made with me.
Middle-aged Swede in yachting cap, naked tattooed torso, neutral blue eyes, gives a shot of heroin to the schizophrenic.
whiff of institution kitchens. Gray ghosts of a million junkies bend close as the substance drains into living flesh.
Is this the fix that staunched 1,000 shits and burst the scented drugstores of Lebanon?
In a veil of cocaine and innocence, ski hut across the mountain, sad-eyed youths yodel for a lost Danny boy.
We sniffed all night and made it 4 times. Fingers down the blackboard, scrape the white bones. Home is the heroine, home from the sea.
Probing for a vein in the junk-sick morning, wind vibrates the window. Coffee and stale Danish in Joe's.
Hello, Cash.
You sure it's there?
Of course I'm sure. Go in with you.
For tonight? A no-horse town. Hit the local croaker for MS. Shoot it all up in 2 hours. Night train to Chai. Meet a girl in the hall and I see she is on and ask, where's a score?
Come in, sonny.
I mean, not a young chick, but built.
How about a fix first? Ixnay, you wouldn't be in a condition.
3 times around, wake up shivering sick in warm spring wind through the window, water burning the eyes like acid.
Now!
She gets out of bed, naked, stash in the cobra lamp, cooks up.
Turn over, I'll give it to you in the ass.
She slides the needle in deep, pulls out and massages the cheek. She licks a drop of blood off her finger. He rolls over with a hard-on, dissolving in the gray substance of junk. Icarus, his parachute, a broken condom. In a rubbish heap across the bay, his jet vaporizes bone and shit to the blue substance of sky. I don't even feel like a human. When the poltergeists come down from the attic and shit in the living room and outnumber the haunted 10 to 1, and their merry pranks are no longer virginal and they turn vicious in adolescence like apes, sometimes I just don't know. Under the hard-faced matron's bandage, the cunt of radiant jade.
You see, dearie, the shock when your neck breaks has like an awful effect, she titters nervously. You're already dead, of course, or at least unconscious, or at least stunned, but, and, well, you see, it's a medical fact. All your female insides is subject to spurt out your cunt the way it turned the last doctor to stone, and we sold the results to Paraguay as a statue of Bolivar.
I have come to ascertain death, not to perform a hysterectomy, snapped the old Auntie Croaker crisply, munching a soggy crumpet with his gray teeth, smell of institution kitchen follow him like dank cloud.
Oh, God, another snafu. That Pierpoint isn't...
He pulled irritably at the lesbian's legs. She boiled her lover. She strapped her lover over a bidet and filled it with boiling lye.
It was a crime passionnel, she rhapsodied. Judge, you should have heard those screams. It was tasty.
I was carried away on a great, glad, gutty river. Who of you has known the full suppository? Constipated purveyors of tired farts?
Come in, please?
Well, you, that was the whole story, and I guess I ought to know. Lady name of Lulu woke up in a Turkish bath under a Johannesburg bidonville.
Where am I, you black bastards?
Don't be like that. How many did you kill?
More the merrier, said Robert Christie.
Wouldn't you?
"'Gentlemen, already the foul banners of bloody Kotex fly over our peaceful cocks. "'The hideous subspecies of woman must be rooted out and destroyed "'with antiseptic flamethrowers lest the terrible she-virus "'survive and rise again to desecrate our fantastic Greek cities.
"'But where is the rough trade, Myrtle?'
"'They got on motor scooters and they all died away in the Italian night.'
And the old thing that sells black market cigarettes laughed and laughed and laughed.
The universe is curved. They must come back. I read it through the glory hole in the old courthouse, Johnny. Here they come now.
The boys approach with a vast, swelling, pathic scream. They advance across a plain. Trees wither as they pass.
I give my falsies for a man, Mary.
Treason! Hang that mad bitch before she grows a nasty cunt!
When I was on the junk, I minded my junkie business, and nobody saw me except pushers and Subway Fuzz. The Independent got their own special heat, and they don't carry iron, just saps. Once over in Queens Plaza, that's a bad station, too many levels. They nailed the fag and me, so I bit the heat's hand. I had my teeth in those days. So I bit him and cut, and he keeps yelling after me, "Stop or I'll shoot!" And I knew he didn't have with what to shoot, so I keep cutting. The fag won't talk to the heat. Just say I am a Times Square kid named of Joe something. So they knock out what teeth he's got left.
"They was loose anywho,"
he tells me later. He always comes on like a fag, you dig. It is part of his act. And he does 529 for jostling. Like I say, junkies is ghosts, and only certain people subject to see them. 5 months and 29 days is the sentence customarily given for attempt to roll a lush in or about the subway. The charge is called jostling. A Mexico City pusher named of Lupita, all the big pushers in Mexico are women, Aztec earth goddess need plenty blood. So Lupita say,
"Selling is more of a habit than using."
And she is really making with the untutored wisdom, illiterate bitch, you dig. A non-using pusher has a contact habit, and that's one you can't kick. Agents get it too. Like I say, the reader will frequently find the same thing said in the same words. This is not carelessness, nor is it for the infatuation with sound of own words department. It indicates space-time juxtaposition, a folding in and back. The universe is curved, feller say. Point of intersection between levels of experience where parallel lines meet. Like I say, prefaces atrophy, drop off, grow again. At one point, the preface was 150 pages long, constituting a menace to the entire enterprise. It was amputated to a bleeding stump of 3 pages and slowly grew back.
"I am the Egyptian," he said, looking all flat and silly.
And I said, "Really, Bradford, don't be tiresome." In the attic of the big store on bolts of cloth, we made it.
"Careful, don't spill."
Don't rat on the boys. The cellar is full of light and air. In 2 weeks, the tadpoles hatch. Wonder what became of Otto's boy who played the violin. Dead bird, quail in the slipper, money in the bank. Fossil cunts of predated chicks bounce all around us in Queens Plaza. Lay them in the crapper. Just shove it in. Vibration does the rest. Black dust rains down over us, cancer curse of switch, cock under the nutshell. Step right up. Now you see it, now you don't. Multiple fracture, said the big physician. I'm very technical. Wooden steps up a vast slope, scattered stone huts. Faces with the eerie innocence of old peoples, mosaic of juxtapositioned golden strains of Negro substance seep up from the unborn South. The man in a green suit, old-type English cut with change pockets outside, will swindle the aging proprietress of a florist shop.
"Old flub got a yen on for me."
They was ripe for the plucking. Forgot way back yonder in the cornhole scraps of delight and burning scrolls. O death, where is thy sting? The man is never on time. This concludes the reading of Naked Lunch by William S. Burroughs. Restored text edited by James Grauerholtz and Barry Miles. Copyright 1959 by William S. Burroughs. Renewed 1987-1990 by William S. Burroughs. Restored text copyright 2001 by the William S. Burroughs Trust. This book was read by Mark Bramhall. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with the Wiley Agency, Incorporated, and was produced in 2009 by Blackstone Audio, Inc., which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc. If you would like to obtain a complete catalog of our titles, or our monthly update telling you about new releases and our new collection of books on CD and MP3 CD, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. You may also obtain the same information from our award-winning website. Our address, all one word, is www.blackstoneaudio.com. Thank you.